You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. There's a surprising new study out about anxiety, and what happened by the end of it is really piquing our interest. Researchers with the University of British Columbia spent several months tracking a group of volunteers described as being highly anxious people. Each one was asked to offer 5 acts of kindness to another person during every week of the study. Now get this, the results revealed a significant increase in self-esteem, positive moods, and even a decrease in feeling stressed. So in this issue, we're digging deeper into the idea of random acts of kindness. And the timing couldn't be better, with Monday, February 17th being the official Random Acts of Kindness Day. Our Terry Barr is sitting down with the vice president of the very real organization, the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation. She finds out why it exists and what we can all learn from it. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Commentator Amanda Nimmer says the best way to be kind is not to be a... Well, we'll let her explain. Then we have stories on the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay, the Draft City Music Festival coming in April to downtown Green Bay, guitars for vets, and a story on a local animal shelter that doesn't describe itself as a no-kill shelter, but rather as a life-saving shelter. They bring kindness to many pets every year. Pete Schwabba has his classic cinema pick of the week, and later, meet a Wisconsin artist who is teaching kids why it's important to turn hurt into kindness and the powerful way he's guiding them to tell their stories. First, let me open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with a look at one of the gems of Northeast Wisconsin, a museum that brings people a history of the rails. The National Railroad Museum, or NRRM, broke ground recently on a $17 million expansion that will add space for more train cars. They'll also add classrooms, storage space, a mezzanine where patrons can overlook the exhibits below, and where the NRRM can host events and ceremonies. Jacqueline Frank is the National Railroad Museum's CEO.
It's going to give us a lot of opportunities for people to gather for education. The neat part is we're connecting it with the outside, so we're also going to have a nice covered kind of patio area that we can do additional outdoor education programs.
The project originally had a price tag of $15 million. Frank says that number has now jumped to $17
million. The way that costs have inflated since COVID, it's up to $17 million, but we're solid and just working on filling that gap right now in terms of financing and finding donors for it.
Funding for the expansion comes from individuals, businesses, foundations, and donations. Frank said about 40% of the money, or about $7 million, came from the state sharing federal COVID relief money.
You know, we're a $20 million economic impact to our region already. Our project's going to add another $20 million. So for the long run, it's a decent investment.
Unfortunately, Frank says the expansion won't be ready in time for the 2025 NFL draft coming to Green Bay in April of 2025.
Steel manufacture has been really kind of the sticking point for us. So that's where the inflation came in. And it's also a huge lead time.
Frank said they didn't realize that there was a 6-month lead time for steel pillars. They have put in the order, but the steel won't arrive on site until December. While the new building won't be available for the NFL draft and the thousands of visitors that it'll be bringing to the area, the National Railroad Museum itself will be open and ready for visitors.
Everything's going to be fully accessible except for the building site. So all of our exhibit areas are going to be open. Most of the outdoor areas are open. The train ride's going to happen. So everything's still available. We just won't have that new section to add on to it.
Frank said the reason for the expansion and the reason that the National Railroad Museum exists is to educate and connect families. She says the expansion is going to allow them to do that.
You know, sometimes we'll have a wedding here and then we have a group that wants to do an overnight education program, and we just don't have space for both of them. So this new addition is going to really give us that opportunity where we can bring more kids in, but it's also going to give us more opportunities for the public to come in and use the space, which is equally important to us too.
Currently, the National Railroad Museum sees about 100,000 visitors every year. Along with new education opportunities and millions more in local revenue, the expansion is said to increase attendance by 50% over the next 5 years. Frank expects the expansion to be open in July of 2025. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
Thanks for spending a part of your weekend with us. This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
There's an organization in Appleton that uses the power of music as a way to spread kindness to vets. Conrad Krieger has that story.
If you or a loved one are a veteran and are looking for a new hobby to clear your mind, look for Guitars for Veterans. Jack Swanson from Guitar for Vets in Appleton shares how to get involved and learn a new hobby if you are impacted by PTSD and other service-related trauma.
Yeah, the power of music is there. And the idea is to get the guitar and the instrument into the hands of veterans and let it the magic work. And I don't get it all the time. I don't understand it. But I've seen the ability to produce music really bring great benefits to veterans. And it's really fun to see.
Swanson explains how his background helped him get involved with guitar with vets.
I'm a retired physician. I was a cancer doc in Appleton for many years. And then I got into hospice and palliative care my last 12 years. And the veterans taught me so much through the VA system in med school and residency, et cetera. And so I always have a soft spot in my heart for how the vets helped me. I'm not a vet myself. I missed Vietnam by 2 years, but my dad was a Korean Air Force veteran. So I always felt I needed to give something back to the vets. And I heard about this on the radio, of all things, and started a chapter in Appleton, and here we go. So it's a lot of fun.
So what happens when you sign up for lessons?
We provide 10 lessons and then provide the practice instrument and then the award guitar at the end of 10 lessons. And we've seen it all. I mean, what I tell my instructors is that every vet is different, and we've had people come in that don't know which end of the guitar to hold, and other guys that I run out of things to teach them. And the vets tell me that after 4 or 5 lessons, their fingers are hurting and they're kind of getting discouraged.
Right.
But if they can't sleep at night, they get up and strum a few chords,
right,
and it really starts to work. And we've had some vets even go off most of their meds. And after the 10 lessons, we always tell the vets is they're welcome to come back for more. So I've had, one particular vet came back for a year and I ran out of things to teach him.
And after the 10 lessons and you graduate, you can come back as an instructor.
Started in May of 19 and we had 2 instructors, myself and Tom Barry, and we had a long waiting list. And as more students have come through, they become interested in becoming instructors, and now I have 9 instructors. We're really blessed with that, and so
wow,
we can get a lot of vets through. But I tell my instructors, you don't have to be good, you have to be patient.
Yeah,
and and it's learning the chords, learning a couple of songs, and we've graduated just over 60 veterans since May of 19. Come visit us at the Farmers Market. You can contact us. My website is guitarsforvets.org. And then the Facebook site is guitarsforvets-appleton.
That was Jack Swanson from Guitar for Vets in Appleton, who joined Mino and the Mayor weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
May seem like a weird act of kindness to Wisconsin native plants and animals, the Wisconsin DNR is starting prescribed burns. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why they do it and how it helps.
Throughout history, many ecosystems in Wisconsin experienced either periodic natural fire or were managed with cultural fire by First Nation people. So our forests slowly developed a tolerance and eventually a dependence on fires happening on occasion. So a prescribed burn is the right fire at the right place at the right time. Think about it. Trees can be stressed by overcrowding, fire-dependent species disappear, and flammable fuels build up and become hazardous. So this controlled fire essentially helps keep the fire-dependent plant communities like prairies, wetlands, and oak or pine woodlands alive and well with what they have adapted to today. Winter burns remove a bunch of dead vegetation buildup, and it helps open waterways for migratory fowl and other wildlife. It also reduces non-native or invasive plant species. And it helps native trees like oak and pine grow. And the ash from these burns also acts as natural fertilizer, going back into the soil. So with the revitalized vegetation, foraging and nesting start to improve there. And the cool part, the stimulated growth of the root systems is then able to actually store more carbon. So winter burns in our area typically take place in cattail marshes, wetland areas, and those wet prairies. The DNR likes this time frame because with the ice and snow cover, it reduces the heat intensity of the fire. As you can imagine, you wouldn't want to attempt this when it's dry, windy, or hot in the summer. The burns simply support a healthy ecosystem for abundance of plants and animals in the state. They're basically mimicking the benefits of a historic fire, but under a safer prescription range of weather and fuel conditions. So with all the recent snow and cold, this is prime time to get going. And don't worry, when prescribed burns are happening near roads or recreational trails, the DNR will post signs to notify you. So if you see them, it's your responsibility to stay away while the burn is ablaze. And planning for these prescribed burns can take weeks or months. The DNR staff says that they make the decision to burn only when the weather and the vegetation conditions meet strict standards for safety, smoke management, and burn effectiveness. And even after such careful planning, the decision to burn on a specific day is reassessed and has to be approved at the regional scale. And once more by the burn boss, who confirms on-site conditions are safe. The DNR also notifies local law enforcement and fire officials in advance about when and where the DNR prescribed burns will take place. Burns planned for the following day are displayed on the DNR prescribed burn dashboard. On that dashboard, you can also see where the active fires are and track how many acres it's burned. It's a useful tool, especially during wildfire season. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
When we come back, Amanda Nimmer shares her thoughts on how to be kind. A little later, we'll share more about random acts of kindness and meet a woman who you could call a kindness guru and how she lives her belief every day. First, scientists are getting in on the act of studying what makes us happy. And even simple things, giving or getting a thank you, sharing a smile, and here's that word again, being kind, is found to increase our satisfaction in life. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, the Draft City Music Festival. First, let's find out what Nightlights Pete Schwabe is recommending in his classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabe's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's classic takes us back to 1991 and the city of Los Angeles. The film is Boys in the Hood, and it gives us a look into the lives of high school kids and their daily struggles navigating the violent streets of LA's South Central neighborhood. The film launched the career of its young leading man, Cuba Gooding Jr., who plays Trey Stiles, a good student who is shuffled back and forth between his divorced parents before finally landing with his father, Furious Stiles, played by Lawrence Fishburne, a strict disciplinarian doing his best to help his son through tough times. Ice Cube and Morris Chestnut play brothers, Doughboy and Ricky. Ricky is the good-looking, likable star football player and Trey's best friend. Doughboy is also part of the crew, but walks on the wild side. Furious does his best to be the father figure to all the boys in the neighborhood, constantly preaching about race, responsibility, and self-respect for young men in the Crenshaw neighborhood they call home. Everything seems on track as Trey prepares to head off to college until he gets dragged into a beef with a neighborhood gang and a horrible tragedy ensues.
Oh, you bad now, huh? You bad. You gotta shoot somebody now, huh? Well, here I am. Come on, shoot me. You bad, right? Look, I'm sorry about your friend. My heart goes out to his mother and his family, but that's their problem, Trey. You my son, you my problem. I want you to give me the gun. Oh, I see. You want to end up like little Chris in a wheelchair, huh? Right? No, you want to end up like Doughboy, huh? No? Give me the gun, Trey.
Gooding has had controversy follow him in recent years, but his acting abilities are unquestioned. He took home an Oscar for Jerry Maguire. Director John Singleton learned how to write screenplays while at USC and impressed so much that he landed representation with CAA when he was just a sophomore. Boys in the Hood made him an Oscar nominee for Best Screenplay and Best Director. At just 24 years old, John Singleton became the youngest director ever nominated for the award in the directing category and was the first ever black director nominated for Best Director. Sadly, Singleton passed away in 2019. Boys in the Hood not only launched Singleton's impressive career as a writer-director, but it still stands today as one of the best movies from the 90s and provides an authentic look at what life is like in South Central Los Angeles for people from both sides of the tracks. Singleton does a great job at sucking in the viewer and making them part of this world in Boys in the Hood, which is this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
In Wisconsin, is it possible to be kind on the roads? Amanda Nimmer answers that question for us.
There are a multitude of different ways that you could spread kindness. You could compliment a stranger, hold the door open for someone, maybe pay it forward and buy the person behind you's lunch. Or you could do what desperately needs to be done, show real and true kindness by following the rules of the road. Ladies and gents, we just had some real snow for the first time in a long time, okay? Anything 3 inches or more, I call that real snow. This is Wisconsin. You have been bred in an environment that we expect a lot more than 3 inches, okay? And yet the second some of you see a little snowflake, you yourself become a snowflake. Because suddenly you're too afraid to drive. Oh my God, icy conditions. How? You have lived here your whole life, at least some of you, and yet you're still too terrified to drive. And even when it's not snow, it could be rain, it could even be dry as a bone out there. And for some reason, people treat the on-ramp like just something they have to casually coast onto. Which, by the way, the on-ramp is there to get you up to the speed limit by the time you have to merge into traffic. Not drive slowly and start speeding up when you've already merged into traffic that's going 30 miles faster than you are. If you are too afraid to drive, if you are too scared, worried, unsure of how to do it, please do us all a favor. Spare us and get off the road. Call an Uber, your grandma, I don't care who. Get off the road. That is true kindness because it's the slow drivers that really mess up the rest of us. It's the slow drivers who cause the most accidents. Especially when you're driving in a white vehicle with your lights off and going 20 miles an hour on something that's supposed to be 70. Which in bad snowy conditions, people are at least driving 50. Has this rant been stemmed because of, I don't know, driving conditions I was in during the recent snowstorm? Perhaps. But I'm going to take a moment to breathe and to simply say, please, for the love of all that you care about, and with absolute deep down inside of you, kindness, follow the rules of the road. And trust me when I say I understand fully that some of you are newer drivers. Some of you have not been born and bred here. But this rant is not for you, so you can go ahead and skip happily by as you learn to acclimate to the conditions of which now you live in. This is for the people who have lived here whole lives. You know who you are. You know who I'm talking to. So be kind. Drive responsibly, or at the very least, if you're scared, put your hazards on. It's not a matter of me needing to get to work on time or anyone else. It's just a matter of getting there in one piece. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Light Park in downtown Green Bay will be home to two free music-focused events as part of the Draft City Music Fest during Draft Week. Brian Johnson of On Broadway Incorporated says he hopes the NFL sees how much heart the city has.
Green Bay has elevated this to a new level, and we might be the smallest market, but boy, we are committed. We are committed in a way that other cities sometimes have a hard time understanding, but we understand it. It's because it's who we are, it's our identity, and we're going to deliver a really great experience. We know that when the NFL leaves here, they're going to say, we want to be back, because Green Bay did it better than anybody.
The first of the events will be the draft kickoff on Wednesday, April 23rd from 4 to 11 p.m. with musical guests, food, beverage, activities, and a fireworks display presented by Festival Foods just before the musical headliner takes the stage. Then the second of the two events will be the eighth round downtown, Saturday, April 26th from 5 until 11 p.m. with almost half a dozen musical acts, including a national headliner, food, beverages, and more.
We know the stadium area will be activated and lively. We want folks to be able to experience the other parts of Green Bay. And sometimes you have to provide a carrot to get them to go into, you know, parts of your community that they wouldn't organically travel to. And, you know, we think our downtown is a very special place. And when visitors come here, really leave them walking away with a memorable experience where they can say, hey, I visited Green Bay. It was a really great experience. I can't wait to go back.
The musical acts will be announced at a later day. The NFL draft is expected to bring in upwards of 300,000 visitors to the greater Green Bay area. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. Ahead on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story and a simple idea: how kindness can make your life, your community, and your world a better place. We'll be right back. Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us for New Wisco Weekend on WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Author Robin Sharma wrote, "Each person who delivers kindness stays with us forever." Think about this. An American Psychiatric Society survey shows those who receive an act of kindness have an instant doubling of their feelings of happiness. So what holds us back from any random acts of kindness? There's an organization hoping to help all of us answer this question. And here's our cover story with Terry Barr.
Buy someone else a coffee or compliment a stranger. These sound like really simple things you can do. And it would mean so much for both you and the other person that you are actually showing kindness to. I am happy to be able to talk today with Brooke Jones. Brooke is with the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation, and Brooke is the vice president. Brooke, welcome to our New Wisco Weekend Show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I just want to ask you to start with, what is the bigger idea behind the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation?
We have a very simple mission that is, I think it takes everybody to accomplish, and that is we want to make kindness the norm. I think that when we look at the news or our social media feeds or, you know, the newspaper, kindness is the exception. We are trying to make that more normalized in society. Start curating your social media feed to show more positive and kind things happening. So that is our goal.
Monday is Random Acts of Kindness Day. With what you do, are you surprised that we still need to be reminded to try to be kind? So we have a day and we just came off of Random Acts of Kindness Week? What is wrong with us?
Well, I think I look at it as a little bit differently. It's sort of like a birthday, right? It's one day a year to really celebrate this thing that means so much. And I think that we take for granted what a small act of kindness can do for our health and well-being. I think that this is the time to just shine and say, gosh, you know, I probably could let that guy into traffic. I probably could, you know, things that we don't do maybe every day. This is the time. And then the more you do it, the more it becomes a habit. Is often we talk about it as doing intentional acts of kindness to get you to the point that it's so natural that it becomes a random act of kindness.
And for you, for your job, this has to be fun because I guess you have to emulate what you talk about. So how does that work for you?
You are absolutely right. I do my best to always practice what I preach. And we put a lot out there talking about respect, responsibility, inclusion, integrity, caring, courage. These are our sort of core principles with everything that we do. And so I am constantly being reminded in my own moments, my family, my friends will say, hey, I'm always thinking about it. I'm always thinking, you know, make eye contact and say thank you to the person serving me, or, you know, let that person into traffic because they may be in a hurry and I'm not. I don't have anywhere I need to be. Those kinds of things, they're always, always on the top of my mind.
Oh, that's wonderful. Brooke Jones, Vice President with the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation. Now, you mentioned how good it is for people. And I think we really forget. You can say something nice to a stranger. Oh, that felt good to do that. But you don't know what that means to them walking away. Why should this be a regular thing to make us feel good? That's okay, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a little bit of selfish, right, in being kind because it does make us feel good. I think it's fascinating. There's been multiple studies done about the health benefits, whether you're the person doing the act of kindness or you're the person receiving it, or even if you just witnessed it. Everybody has the same physiological reaction in terms of those feel-good chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. And over time, if you really are being kind, just a couple minutes a day, over time, you're lowering your blood pressure, lowering your stress level, all kinds of health benefits. I mean, I cannot think of something that's easier to do than a couple of minutes a day where you do something kind, or when you receive kindness, you really kind of soak it in, right? Don't ignore it. Take that in. That's wonderful. Or if you see it, that causes a chain reaction.
My husband will laugh at me because I will often see someone, I have no idea who the person is, and they might have a cool jacket on or their hair might look really cool. I have no qualms going up and saying, oh my gosh, you look amazing. And the reaction is just the best. And then you feel good as you walk away. But how do you suggest for someone who isn't really comfortable, how can they get started with this, even just taking a small step?
It's a great question because actually myself and my colleague are both real introverts. Doing something like walking up to a stranger and saying something is hard for both of us. One of the things I would recommend to somebody who maybe is feeling uncomfortable or doesn't want to be that bold, this is my favorite thing to do. Write a letter of gratitude to somebody who's changed your life. And then you can send that letter to them. The best way to do it would be to hand it to them and read it in person. The reaction to that, it's such a special thing. First of all, for somebody to write it down, not something we do anymore. So I suggest people write it down. Don't email it. Don't text it. And then give it to the person that has changed your life, whether it was a teacher, a parent, a sibling, a friend. It's so meaningful. I still have sitting on my desk a note from one of my colleagues that I haven't seen now. Gosh, she moved away and has been gone for 6 or 7 years. And I still look at that note and it's so meaningful to me.
That's almost a frameable piece of kindness.
Absolutely.
Do you have any quick ideas? I know you and I have kind of gone back and forth on some little easy ideas. One I want to mention and I saw this on your website too. My niece lived with us for a little while, and she was always trying to practice kindness. She did the sticky notes, where you just write a wonderful message. She would carry those everywhere she went, even at the airport or the hotel, just sticking those up everywhere.
That is a fun one. That is one of my favorites.
I love that.
Yeah. One of the things we do often is we have some just blank bookmarks, and you can cut pieces of paper, really, write an inspirational quote or idea or word, or draw a lovely picture. And then we go into libraries or bookstores and we just hide them in the books for the person to find, whoever it is. I mean, you don't know who's going to find it. That's a fun one to do, really simple. The other thing we've done that has been so much fun is painting rocks. So we take a rock, we paint similarly a word or, you know, a picture, a heart, and we leave it often on our neighbor's doorsteps or in their garden for them to find at some point. So simple things like that, that are very meaningful.
Your website is spectacular as far as ideas and just reading about the thoughts of being kind. Can you share your website with us?
Yes, it is randomactsofkindness.org. And as you mentioned, there's lots of ideas on there. Everything that we offer is completely free of charge, including an evidence-based school curriculum and workplace program. There's all kinds of things on there. I suggest you go in there and get lost trying to find all the things that resonate with you.
I can tell you I did, and it's why I was so happy to be able to connect with you and talk with you about kindness. Thank you. Again, I've been talking with Brooke Jones. She is the vice president of the very real Random Acts of Kindness Foundation. Brooke, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you. And happy Random Acts of Kindness Day.
Happy Monday Kindness Day to you too.
Again, you can find ideas and inspiration for your own Random Acts of Kindness Day this Monday at randomactsofkindness.org. And you know what? Let us know what you're doing for Random Acts of Kindness by sharing it on our social media pages at WISS and WGBW. The Oshkosh Area Humane Society, or OAHS, cares for hundreds of animals throughout the year. Not all of the animals have happy endings, but as Executive Director Yava Engel says, most of them are given the love, care, and opportunity to find their forever homes.
Most of our animals, if not all of our animals, have a story. They have a story of potentially a heartbreak, why they came in, or we don't know their story if they are brought in as strays. But the fact that we work with every single animal as a unique being, and then whatever help they need, be it behavioral, be it medical, we work them through it. So we turn these sad stories or unknown stories into success stories, but it's intentional. It's work that goes into it in bringing a shy kitty out of its shell, out of the same with dogs or the same with turtles who are extremely shy. But I think at the end of the year, when we look at everything that our team has done, it does feel good. So these good stories really overshadow the sad ones.
Engel says the OAHS does not euthanize for space, for length of stay, or if the animal is difficult to adopt out.
We believe there's an adopter for all our animals out there. But sometimes there are very sad cases. If an animal is very, very sick and there's no chance of improvement, or if an animal is suffering, we do have to take those steps. So we like to call ourselves a life-saving shelter because that is our mission.
One of those animals that could have been euthanized due to medical issues was Pretzel. Pretzel was brought to the shelter as a stray. He had bent and deformed legs because of a problem with his knees, but the OAHS saw his fighting spirit and found a way for Pretzel to have his happy ending.
Pretzel was a very unique case. That is exactly it. What some people may consider as very, very sick animals, animals that are beyond help. We have our veterinarian, Dr. Laura, who, by the way, is amazing. She and her medical staff, they evaluate every single animal. And we even consult with specialty hospitals and universities outside of our area. Here we have video visits with experts that could be on the other side of the country. So we do we evaluate every animal again for what the animal is. And in Pretzel's case, it really was a success story. It was a story where the medical team intersected with our staff who actually rehabbed Pretzel at home. And even before the surgery, one of our staff members who was fostering Pretzel was working on physical therapy with that kitten to get the kitten to the point where he could have the surgery. So Pretzel now is in a home with his very good friend, Rhett, and they are absolutely adorable. So this was a very heartwarming story, but I do have to say that in this particular case, the Humane Society does incur those costs when we do surgeries and obtain medical services outside of the shelter. And our community was absolutely amazing in coming together and helping us raise the funds for Little Pretzel's care. So I do have to say, I have to give a lot of kudos to our supporters. We just couldn't do it without them.
Engel says sometimes an animal is difficult to place for other reasons, like Turtle, one of their canine success stories.
I think our approach really has been successful with some of the shyer dogs. Some of the dogs who are afraid of strangers, we know they're great dogs because when the staff are working with them, they're so loving. And I'll give you an example of Turtle. Turtle was this large brindle. I couldn't even tell you what breed she was. She appeared to have a little bit of hound in her, a little bit of pity in her, pure mix. But She was a large dog, strong dog. And she was very shy with strangers. So A, we would rarely get applications for her, and B, when we got them, the meet and greet did not go well just because of her behavior, appearance. And so we knew we had to find that one adopter that was willing to work with her, and we actually did. It was a couple from Stevens Point who found Turtle through Petfinder. They met Turtle three times, and the first time was here. The second time was at a park, I believe in Waupaca, so kind of midway. Our staff drove Turtle there to meet with them. And the third one was in their home. Our staff brought the dog over. So that slow introduction really worked. And Turtle is still with the lovely couple in Stevens Point.
To start the adoption process, to volunteer, or to find out more about the OAHS, visit their website, oahs.org.
That I think they may add a furry family member into their household, and they can come out here and find an amazing fit. Whatever the need is, whatever the fit is, we have an animal for them.
For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know how a young heart really feels, and why I love her so. And they called it puppy love.
Coming up on just New Wisco Weekend, the kind way kids are learning to turn their stories into songs.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm your host, Lisa Hale. Rob Dees is a Wisconsin artist, educator, and activist, but no matter which hat he's wearing, he believes in kindness to the core. And a big goal these days is helping the kids he works with across the state to take their stories and turn it into art. Once again, here's our Terry Barr.
How do you fulfill all of those roles? Artist, educator, activist.
It's really just about putting my best foot forward in whatever it is. I mean that in the context of just trying to be a light. If there's some way that I can spark something for someone else, whether it's through music or if it's impacting the kids that I work with, hopefully people can get something from what I've gone through and kind of push it along and pay it forward as I try to pay it forward. So that requires a lot of faith and a lot of belief that even when things ain't okay, things gonna be okay.
Hip hop for you is also a really big part of your life, but you also use it to sort of help kids learn more about the music and how to do it and why it matters. Why is that important for you?
For me, it's important in understanding being a voice for the voiceless. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially for me, like being a child of hip hop, understanding that your voice makes noise, like your voice resonates, your story resonates. What you come from and what you've gone through is something that you hope that you can pass along that others can gain from it. And that's the same way that I feel like with the babies that I work with, shorties, the youngins, and that, you know, like to get them to understand that they have a story that's important. But yeah, I mean, like to really be able to get kids to understand in a lot of ways where like arts programming is getting cut. The importance of sharing stories is something that needs to connect us all. I've often heard that the word inspiration associated with what I do, but like my biggest hope of inspiration is to inspire others. These babies are the future, so we got to inspire them. So
when you see the light bulb go on above their head, they're getting what you're talking about. What does that feel like?
I taught a class this morning, and it's an alternate educational program that I'm working with. So these are kids that have basically been expelled or taken out of other programs. I won't go into the name of the program, but on a first day to see them buy into what we're talking about, like you can see when you talk about the light bulb going off, it's probably a light bulb that nobody's ever really gotten to get them to open up. There's a certain responsibility so that there's a joy that comes from it, but it's like, okay, man, let's roll up our sleeves. Now let's get to it. So in seeing that, it's always encouraging and it's always heartwarming. At least for me, it always encourages me to continue to try to be mindful and do that and share that connectedness.
How are we doing? What are we missing in our discussions about, you know, whether we want to talk about Black history or Black future?
Probably going to be weird to say it, but I think we're missing the humanity of it all. And that goes very deep. But I think in not just having humanity be a checkoff point, you know, but have it actually be an actual action to really care about common man and who we are and our experiences and being able to appreciate the humanity of it all, I think that will help the progress that's been avoided. As we grow more through the times that we are living in, I think we should really start looking at appreciating the humanity and letting that guide our forward motion.
You kind of lead this Mad Lit program.
We're entering year 5. And honestly, when this started, I had no clue we would be at year 5, but here we are. So excited about that. The whole premise is being at the top of State Street to just share in the humanity of it all. Understanding that people come from different backgrounds and we still need to coexist together to make things happen. And that's the celebration of Mad Lit. We have musicians, we have visual artists, we have small business vendors that don't necessarily get a chance to interact in the downtown area. So we come and we actually move towards a better understanding and existence for ourselves. I think with the times that we live in, composure is required. And it's kind of what I talk about, just, you know, keeping your composure. Even in being recognized in the town and the interactions, the weird interactions that I encounter, even, you know, the responsibility of being an African-American in a predominantly white place, you know, even the composure of the climate that our country is in. All of these things kind of require a certain amount of composure. And that's kind of where this song came from. It was kind of me just kind of throwing something out there and saying, hey, here it is. That's it.
Thank you again for joining me, Rob D's the artist. Let's take a listen to his song, Composure.
Ain't no time to walk with my head down. Part of being a man with skin that's brown. Had that to being a man about town. And it all come out in the soul and the sound. Now, speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats don't get. Bread in the ever on some peppy lip pew. That mean I'll put some stank on it, now whatever I do. So, smell like that, this progression rap. Ready to move forward, ain't no time to look back. On some let me live so I can get at that. Cause I'm a blue collar baby, earn my teacup cat. Some 10 and 9 like me cause I'm speaking facts. Robbie St. Luke cause I was speaking acts. Walking my beneath these words of my debris. How to keep composure through all of this grief. Cause some throw jazz for us to fall off. Like they the only spot for us to ball off. Work our own visions, make sure they saw off. Drew Holiday, point plays I call off. This is for those suffer polarizations. Talk my soul smack on these hit quotations. For the real, we the people type situations. Must have seen faith for all the trailblazers.
Don't come up, sometimes we fail. And hear the joy and
feelings. Things fall apart, man, now I get it. But I know my black excellence is often expected. Stay cool even when it's hot, it's so hectic. The culture is a mantra, small stuff, I don't sweat it. Falling for the all us, now I bet it. And come up short, there's no way that I can let it. Level her decisions with no time to trip. Put my soul on the line, word of Morris has lived. It's funny, man, I used to crave the attention. Now I just crave people get my intentions. No matter the hurt which I've been exposed, it's gonna get better, man, stay composed.
So pumped up, sometimes we fail. And in the joy and times we fail. Now you just spread your wings, set sail. And you just keep your composure, babe. Your composure.
It seemed like we all going through it. Cooler heads prevail. Compose is how to do it. We all got demons and we skew how folks view it. Shape up a story no one could have knew it. Last name Franklin, but I ain't no saint. Made my words snowfall when they said you can't. Being black and white Wisconsin require restraint. And I go for what I know, shoot, think I ain't. But settling for less, not part of my debate. It's cause I'm moving love.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend's issue on the Random Acts of Kindness. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr with features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, and Pete Schwaba. Our commentator is Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear us cover, feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.